I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Good to have you here with us this Monday. Think about it. We're getting to the point that almost a generation has passed since 9/11, and it's no longer something everyone remembers. It's got to be taught.
Today, so far, we haven't learned about 9/11. We usually learn about it in history class. We briefly go over what the event is.
That's the younger sister of my colleague, Amulya Shankar. Amulya was in third grade on 9/11, her sister not yet born. We'll speak with both of them later on the show, a new generation wrestling with the evolving meaning of the attack and its consequences. We begin our coverage with The World's Matthew Bell, who has been digging into what 9/11 means and has meant to President Trump and his worldview.
On the morning of September 11th, 2001, real estate developer and native New Yorker Donald J. Trump was at the office.
Well, I have a window that looks directly at the World Trade Center.
That's Trump on the phone with a local TV news show on the day the towers came down.
I saw this huge explosion. I was with a group of people, and I really couldn't even believe it. And even, I think, worse than that, for years I've looked right directly at the building. I'd see the Empire State Building in the foreground and the World Trade Center in the background, and now I'm looking at absolutely nothing. It's just gone. And it's just hard to believe.
Trump went on to mention that his building at 40 Wall Street had suddenly gone from being the second tallest building in downtown Manhattan to the tallest. One of the people in the TV studio talking with the future president was Alan Marcus, a friend and former PR guy for Trump. At one point, Marcus asked Trump to imagine himself in the White House.
In the year 2000, Donald, you considered running for president. If you had done that and if you had been successful, what do you think you'd be doing right now?
Well, I'd be taking a very, very tough line, Alan. I mean, you know, most people feel they know at least approximately the group of people that did this and where they are. But boy, would you have to take a hard line on this. This just can't be tolerated.
Fast forward 16 years, al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden is dead, but the war in Afghanistan, al-Qaeda's former stronghold, is still not over. And of course, it's President Donald J. Trump who's commander-in-chief now.
9/11, the worst terrorist attack in our history, was planned and directed from Afghanistan because that country was ruled by a government that gave comfort and shelter to terrorists.
That's President Trump speaking to U.S. military personnel last month, explaining his plans to send more U.S. troops to Afghanistan. It's one of many instances with Trump's emerging foreign policy where you can hear the reverberations of the September 11th attacks.
I think Trump has tapped into and reflects that fear and anger many Americans felt immediately after 9/11.
Brian Katulis is a national security expert at the liberal-leaning Center for American Progress.
It's this America First slogan that he has, this notion of a gated community concept of security, that we got to throw up barriers to entry to this country, build walls.
When the 2016 campaign got rolling, Trump attacked Barack Obama's Middle East policy as a disaster, but he also attacked George W. Bush for invading Iraq and nation building.
What he tapped into was this broader American societal sense that we had expended a lot of resources in these places and tried to actually remake them in our own image, and that the George W. Bush freedom agenda to try to expand democracy and freedom to defeat terrorism had utterly failed. The thing that's really curious about Trump, which makes him an anomaly for presidents, is that he's really stepped away from any sense of a moral values component of trying to defeat this threat.
As far as Syria is concerned, we have very little to do with Syria other than killing ISIS. What we do is we kill ISIS.
That's Trump speaking just last week. If there's a motto for the new president's foreign policy, it would be something like doing more with less, according to Mike Doran. He's a security expert at the conservative Hudson Institute. Doran says Trump's foreign policy approach is shaping up to look a little like Richard Nixon's.
That's what I think it is. I mean, Nixon, the country, and after the Vietnam War, very skeptical about the use of the military abroad. And Nixon realized that, and so he started relying more on allies and building them up as sort of policemen who would look after American interests.
Duran says Trump got off to a promising start with his first presidential trip to the Middle East, which included a headline-grabbing photo op in Saudi Arabia.
The sword dance in Saudi Arabia and the trip to Israel that he also made at the time indicated that Trump was going to rely much more on allies than President Obama had. And those allies are primarily concerned with the rise of Iran.
Duran says an enduring mistake with American foreign policy since September 11th has been to focus too much on Sunni extremist groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS. President Trump appears to be more willing to confront what Mike Duran calls the Shiite extremist state of Iran.
It's our job to organize the region. I think President Obama's policy taught us that the problems of the Middle East don't stay in the Middle East. So if we leave the Middle East, those problems are going to follow us. Look at all of the refugees from Syria and look at the tensions that they caused in Europe.
If President Trump does hope to organize the region, it's far from clear just how he plans to do so. One thing that both experts I spoke with told me is that this president has not fully thought through where he wants to go with his foreign policy. For The World, I'm Matthew Bell.